Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the group of poets, a group of spoken word artists who are committed to a love of the written word and the performance of those words. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the October 5th, 2018 edition. We are here in the studio broadcasting to you live. Of course, we're broadcasting to you live, unless this is all elaborately recorded and no one really knows.
That would be freaking awesome.
I think it's possible, but JT, we have not yet perfected even just a normal live broadcast yet. I don't feel confident faking it.
You're thinking we're that bad or that good? Or,
I don't know.
Or we're missing. You know, just
I do have
element.
Confidence in what we do, but I also have this thing in the back of my head, much like I do with the Denver Broncos, where I just assume that we will find a way to snatch victory from the jaws of snatch defeat from the jaws
of victory. Yeah,
that's what I meant to say.
I know.
Yeah. So, you know, go figure. Anyway.
Yeah.
I am Michael Amadei, one of your hosts. I'm here sitting across from the man who keeps everything running, and my co-host, Mr. JT. JT, how are you, sir?
I'm good. A little sore, a little tired, but I'm good to go.
Are you sore because of the midterms?
No. I'm sore because of the...
It could happen. You could.
I guess it could,
you could
yeah.
have PE.
I don't have PE.
Hey, that's a problem.
No, I'm just sore from... The work that I've been doing with the IT group.
Oh, that's
school.
Right. Yeah. You've been doing quite a bit, actually. They've been having you do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
You're happy, though. I can
tell.
Yeah.
And when you know the stuff, you just do. It's awesome. They go, yeah, can you go do that? Sure thing. No problem.
You go, you know, I'm the haiku master, so technically it's no problem.
That's right.
All right. Wonderful. So... We are excited to be in a new month. That means there is a new Poet of the Month. Yep. Brand new Poet of the Month. That means we're going to play this song a lot. Also, we're going to have a new Poetic Form of the Month, and we're just going to be doing some exciting stuff. I'm gearing up for Studio X next week, but that's not this week. That's right. The extra added thing this week is... After we finished our return engagement, we are going to be coming back with a special adults-only version of After Dark. Actually, every time it's adults-only, but
well,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into this this first con segment, let me lock down a few rules here. Okay, so number one, we take 5 callers per segment. You get put in the order in which you call. If you call after we've gotten 5 callers, then... You're going to have to wait till the next segment. That's okay. We'll make sure you get a chance. Then after we've done multiple segments there, we just kind of feel like it's kind of slowing down. What we'll do is we'll do a return engagement, which means anybody who wants to call back in and share something can, or if you want to call in for the first time, you can do it then as well. Once that's done, we will finish the show proper. We will be a very clear marking point, so if you don't want to hear the stuff in After Dark, you can just say goodnight, and we'll say goodnight as well, and we'll see you next time. Or you can stick around for some of the weirdest After Dark poetry you will ever hear.
Maybe.
In theory. It's been getting a little bit more tame.
It has.
Or actually, not so much tame. Introspective. Oh. It's become less for a while there, it was all
a little weird,
erotic poetry, and now it's actually gone to like thoughtful stuff. I actually like the stuff in After Dark a lot more.
Yeah.
But so that's what we're going to be doing. Here are our basic rules. Number one, no hate speech. We don't do that. Never have. Number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We have families, people who listen to the show or the recorded podcast. We want to make it friendly for them. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So if you have something great going on, we might not, you know, jump in there and censor you. But if it gets blatant, we might say, hey, wait and share it on the After Dark segment. Number three, please be prepared when we come on the line. Have your poem ready to go. That way we're just being respectful of everyone else's time. Number four, keep your poetry between 3 to 5 minutes. You know if your poem's 20 minutes long. I'm just going to go on a limb and say this. You know if it's 20 minutes long. Just kind of, you know, use your best judgment there. And then number five, we love your comments. We love your suggestions. We do want to hear them. However, if you say them to us while we're on the air, we're probably not going to get them or remember them because we're right in the thick of things when we're doing this. So if you have something you want to offer as a suggestion or a comment on the show, please send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or the contact form on our page. I think I got it. You think I got it?
I think you got those. Yeah,
okay, cool. So we're good. So we're going to get ready to do our first segment. That means we need 5 unique callers picked up in the order in which they are received. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
Did you ever read the Neil Gaiman Beowulf retelling? It was pretty amazing. So he was, I think, challenged or something like that to do it in like modern day, kind of almost like cyberpunk.
Okay.
Werewolves and Beowulf mixed together.
Okay.
And he totally did. And it's the most ridiculous thing. But yet he did it and it works. Science fiction, actually, I think.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have to find it. It's pretty solid. Anyway, we are back. We've got 5 great callers lined up. We're going to be getting straight into it in a second. But before we do, I want to ask you, if you have not, to help support the show. And by that, what I mean is, we're not asking just for your money. We're not asking for anything like that. What we're asking for is you to support us through poetry. So every year we put out an anthology that helps support the show. And we put it out right before Christmas. So we're looking now at our 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. If you would like to have your work contributed to this book, you can submit as many things as you'd like. Just send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com and just say in the subject line submission for anthology so we know what it's for. That goes a long way to help us keeping everything going, and we really, really appreciate everybody's support. All right. Now, JT, I am going to double check here. I don't have any emailed submissions tonight.
Okay.
Well, to read on the show,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot for, and they, by the way, I didn't say for the anthology, the cutoff date is Halloween.
Yes.
At 11:59 p.m., technically. So November 1st at midnight Mountain Time, but whatever. Now we're going to head to a place, a magical place, a place where they fry eggs on the street for fun.
First.
Arizona. Let's go to Mary. Hello, Mary.
Hello, hello, hello from the warmth.
I don't think this has ever happened, having you as the number one caller on the show. You're leading off.
We're doing a little jiggy jig. Yeah, let's do that. Everybody. So, I appreciate that. I appreciate any kind of value that you give me to my scribbles, because they really are. You know, I figured it out. I'm just not a weekend writer. I'm just a scribbler. And then there's writers, and then there's the honers, and then there's the really good artists of writing, and then that's what we remember. So I appreciate being here. How's that?
We are very happy to have you here. We might differ slightly in the opinion of what a scribbler is, but that's okay. You can have your own definition of yourself. We'll have ours as well.
Hey, I have purple, blue, and red crayons in my scribbles, so I'll have you aware of that, and I'll read on here.
All right.
I named this one Rainy Days. Rivers cried full even in the sunshine. What to do on a rainy day? When the tears run dry and I again appear comatose, I know from inside that my facade again has melted over. The moss and memories are grown. The voluptuousness is gone. My desires remain in mist, pasted through veiled cloaks. Acceptance becomes clear through the evident motions in the frames of my eyes, growing worried, though I hate when I look like that. The truth left in my yet speechless voicelessness. Again and again, love felt burnt up like a pyre, though the breezes of it have blown over the trees, and all that remains is really trying to forget all but the lessons. Moving onward, though alone, groggily, generations of connections left, progeny and once friends all gone. All left to live freely and unencumbered by me or not, and vice versa at last. And my buildup of the runoffs, too great to share with those I have come to love and respect. I simply move on to solitude. We come to know our own tastes and our stories and aftertastes. Yet I know the rains don't last forever. And when the hurricanes and the tsunamis are over, and some are left to pick up the pieces with what's left of us or them, we'll all go on and speak of body parts and autonomy as if it's a choice of ours. I sound so glum. I never meant to be. When did I get to feel so differently than the humans I see interacting in the drama around me? When did I stop being able to identify with most of them, who can't see clearly that we cannot force our voice upon the others with disdain and disgust? I watched through prism wept quarters. What's happened to me here to make me so different in feeling and properties from most of them I spend time with? Even the books of the elders concern me, for they didn't know all the facts we do scientifically now. And even the genius were tainted, and maybe still are, I suppose. I don't know how I sit in there, let the rose of ink beside in the pen quivering to speak because it means to for reconciliation and peace for God's sake. Maybe I still need to keep looking, because sometimes, once in a grand while, I find someone, a spark. Not just a musical sound or a beat or a rustling of leaves or an ant or a bee, but a real human voice to connect with, a voice who feels and emotes and has the talents to put forth the feelings of animosity and betrayals I feel here on earth, and shares with me things that please and comfort me about history and truth, how it can heal us and help us grow if we don't just get caught up in all the mix. Hatreds, I decline, I decline, I decline, can I turn away? I know I'm not unique, far from it, but I'm a unique individual. I know that too, as unique as we all are, women and men alike, still capable of growth and change, and those will come as the preparations are done with what we have endured and grown through to get us to this juncture. Till the last chance round is announced and it's time to go for real. Parents and parents of all those gone before us, in parentheses, know these things. Perhaps a few of my children have aromas here on earth, perhaps even the ones that didn't get to play here. Perhaps their dreams still live through me and my daughters, though I was unable to bring the majority of them healthily here to live and prosper. That's given me the courage to go and keep speaking and feeling and hugging and holding and in my thoughts and in my arms those I love with might and gusto, because love is something very special for us to feel here. Many of us forget what it's like, and that emotion, when it's gone, is quickly replaced by isolation and sadness. Love for oneself in a real way is a key to remaining strong. I try not to forget that too, for yes, me and Summer, Iman, and all those I love. For their sake, I strive to remember and prosper in my present state right now, even on rainy days. That's it.
Wow. Just kicking it off right out of the gate, just really, really heartfelt, beautiful piece.
I love you for saying that. I'd hug you if I were near, and we're on to the next.
All right, Mary. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that was Mary. Now I'm interrupting her. That was Mary from Arizona, kicking us off here with the beautiful, just heartfelt piece. That's what she's so good at. It's her talent, and it's just wonderful. All right, should we get ready to go to Alabama?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Let's visit Stan in Alabama. Good evening, Stan.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Doing wonderfully. How about you?
I'm doing great today.
All right, happy to hear that. Happy to hear it. We're excited. We're less than, actually, by now, 2 months from now, we will be officially
6 years
old. 6 years old. Yeah. Officially old enough to start first grade.
There you go. There you go.
Our humor might need to grow up a little bit.
Time to break out the big boy pants now.
I've been trying to tell JT that for years, man. It's just not working out. So what do you have for us?
Well, this is a piece that I wrote. And it's actually a piece I extended off of a little workshop project. And it's a little bit of memory and a little bit of heart. It's called That Day. I am that day. I am forever changed for it, forever blessed by it. I am. I am the keeper of it. Winter in a western city, not knowing of our place as the working poor. It's family vacation day. Miles change asphalt and concrete to hills, grass, and open space. Time passed in family banter and playing out of state. License plates from Texas to Louisiana called out and counted. Dad drove, so never won. Mom or sis, reigning champions. Me, played, but not engaged. Changing scenery and adventure, far too distracting, too compelling. But still only one to spy New York. More woodland the scene now, as patches of snow spotted, entering the Sierra Mountains foothills, mountains wearing crowns of white. The greens and browns of woods peeking out from under white covers. Outside the car, the air brisk, and the wind can sting. I'm overwhelmed with awe. This is no photo or painting, nor black and white TV scene. This is snow. This is real. No smell of asphalt, no traffic, horns, radio, or TV, no feel of concrete or grass, no warm winds and taste of the ocean. No sound or sign of anyone, just us in an unknown world. All senses alive, experiencing first, from the smell of pine to snow shifting underfoot. There's security and comfort found in Mom's baskets of food, the scent of Dad's Old Spice in his pipe, even Mom's Chesterfield smoke and hair. Now, I've been in woods, but not like this. No buzz or bug or smell of wood smoke. No sign of a snake or lizards, just tracks of paws in the snow. Very little bird song heard, but hoot of owl, cry of eagle. But in seeing an eagle in flight against a mountain backdrop, my God. We were very near a large hill, snow deep enough to cover rocks. Dad came prepared with poor man's sleds, Pennsylvanian know-how. Heavy wax sealed cardboard boxes used to ship frozen chicken, fashioned into snow gliders. Still the slight scent of yard bird present. Grilled up front edge as a handhold, feet used as drag brakes, and down you go, whoosh. Steering was not an option. Crashes and face plants aplenty. Frosty, laughing faces abounding. The snow snuck through the cumbersome wear, shaken off, out, or quickly melted. During the mealtime quiet, hear the thump of snow clumps falling off trees or rock outcroppings. the creaks and groans of burdened limbs. The sunlight shifts and wanes, shadow dances in windbrush trees. Did I see a rabbit or deer or not? At eye contact, gone like imagined specters. Sunsetting shadows on the mountains, timekeeper of our departure. As we head home, Mom reminiscing of a childhood in Montana. That day, captured in the mind and heart. We never returned to the snow after Mom's passing. Eventually, Dad followed his soulmate. My sis, not long after him. But we had that day of love, beauty, and adventure. I alone remember. I am the keeper of that day. In peace.
I was just kind of sitting there just taking that all in. It's one of those ones that's hard to speak after it's done.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Of course. Of course. Wow. Was that just written this week?
Maybe a little later than a week ago. But what it did was I worked on the thing that we were doing.
Yeah.
And then just the start of it, the very beginning of it, I began to remember it was the one single time when I lived in California that we ever headed north and up into those hills near those mountains for a day in the snow. Now, we had been to the woods before, but it was always spring or summer, something like that.
Yeah.
It was my actual first time ever in snow.
Wow.
That had to be a pretty amazing experience.
It was. And then what added to it, like I said, was that was the only time ever we went. That was it.
Mm. Wow. You just remember it from there on.
Yeah. That's why, you know, it's that day.
Yep.
Wow. Stan, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, gentlemen. On to the next.
All right. Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, land of in. No, we're not going to go there.
Okay. All right.
Not today. I'm saving that for the book.
Oh.
I was just telling you before we came on here, I think everybody could probably appreciate this. I've been working on this book that's supposed to come out in early December, right? And
yeah.
I suddenly looked back at how many words I've written so far, yeah. And I'm still actually totally not done with it. And I've already written 80,000 words, and I'm going, oh, okay, this is, I think some editing is going to have to happen here. So apparently I just made a bigger problem for myself, although having more words, having too many words is actually a much better problem than not having enough.
That is true.
You know, at least in my experience. So I think everybody can appreciate that. So that's where my head's been recently. But anyway, let's head to a guy who has no problem using short words and short titles. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
I think that's irony.
Okay.
That's I use strictly non-iron.
Non-iron. Yes, very good, sir.
Yes.
How are you fellows tonight?
I think we're doing quite well.
Yeah.
How about you?
All right. Oh, after hearing Mary Zona and Stan Bama, it's a much better night.
Good. Wonderful.
So, yes.
You feel the same.
And I will be quick then. I will get to it. How about that?
All right.
Save a little time. We have three segments tonight, so, you know, get out of the way, huh? And
yeah.
Let the next poet get on here. All right. Here we go.
All right.
The title, Curators Disguised as Stanzas. And here we go. You'll keep coming back to art, whether wisdom or bedlam awakens the aesthetic sense. Optimal compromise between another day's dull drudgery and the looming ultimatum of death patiently waiting. Sometimes an irrational beauty shared between I and thou, or while playing games with connotations of not. Shepherds inherently neither good nor bad, but merely roles, no more nor less than wolves played out like code, C++ or Pascal. Occasionally turn down the coherence, cottony respite in blurs of world cinema, stoned panoptic eyes, vivid colors, preemptive convalescence, TV mime shows played on mute, heightens any possible semiosis, easily misconstrued. Besides, paranoia often draws such crooked noises, diametrically opposite, gently oscillating white murmurous ohms, softly through illumined lamps and humming fans, Buddhist chants. Get bored sitting around, counting how many possible cubes of uniform size accurately measures a sphere's area. Check Thelonious Monk sitting fidgets at the burnt umber bench, ready for any request from the only one always anonymously synonymous. Cranium geodesics from a pensive bit of jet lag layover. Daydreaming old lovers at winter airport windows. Y equals MX plus B going up or coming down. Air on a G string to not so slack pantalones. Calm Auden's patient stoicism, sculpted into a wrinkled visage, a gentle caveat reminding each dream awakened youth, nudged toward the depths of suffering or binged release, half a buck happy hour whiskey. Poetry makes nothing happen, regardless how lovely or grotesque one's mashing prayers. And there it is, fellers.
Air on a G string, not so slack pantalones.
Well, you know, things go up and they come down. Yes. You know, I'm not going to say that anything Viagra, but you know, yeah. I'm just, you know. I think I can make anything sound dirty. I don't mean to.
You know, I do that too. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta really watch that.
Wrong.
I realized just a few years ago I was holding back from from making your mom jokes to eighth grade kids because it was.
Go ahead.
Well, now yeah, it's out of my system now, and I can't. I have to be honest with you. I'm a little disappointed in myself.
Well, hey. Slowly, anyway. Patiently, you will become an adult, Michael, and we'll all be there at the finish line.
All right, so. Wonderful. One day, I'll have my bar mitzvah, and you can all come.
All righty, sir. I look forward to the next poets. Okay. Cheers.
Thank you, Philip. Wonderful. And that was Philip Kahn from Kentucky. Laid out a great piece.
I
enjoyed that very much. All right, we're going to head now to early morning in the UK, and we're going to go to Titus. Hello, Titus. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes.
All right, wonderful. Good morning. Welcome back. How have you been?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just getting on with it, you could say.
Good.
Had a couple of easy days, so I did write, which was nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Happy to hear that.
Yes.
Is this something you're going to share with us tonight or today?
I was just coming to this subject of what you can read on this first segment and what you can't. Mm. And I kind of like thinking about when you read the Bible of the Immaculate Conception, I'm just wondering what people think generally about those two words. Mm. My poem is titled the same, and I'm dead against writing smut, and to actually train people to have a train of thought on where the physicality can be erased and there you put the emotional content in and maybe meet where two souls emerge. So this hopefully is explaining that. Didn't want alarm bells ringing when that word comes up that something unsavory is about to happen, but no, I'm I'm hoping not. All right. I don't think so. Okay, it's called Immaculate Conception. To clobber the myth of the Immaculate Conception, love suggests you are wrong to demolish these pangs. Two worlds collide, the heavens open, a deluge hangs in the balance. A nine-month waiter proves exception. Passing on the genes of equal share, it aids such purity which creates an assault it evokes while in judgment. A demon commends that lust shall be given the surety of whether or not success will pass on the increment. Truth is, the magnetic love transaction has been ecstatic. There's no holding back enjoyment thus as with a gush. A whirlwind romance would suddenly become climatic. It is perfect in their eyes for such an act to simply rush. The hush makes perfect. End of poem.
That was an insightful piece. I really like the wordplay there.
Well, that came from a word bank, so I first thought I was going a bit senile. I thought I need little prompts to actually motivate me, but I'm thinking I would rather have a change of subject. These words that you are brought before you, they actually push you into an area where you wouldn't otherwise have felt for that subject.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. Yeah, thank you.
That's right. I think with my stuff right now, I think if it's about 12 lines, I think the discipline then is to actually put as much as you can in it rather than to drag it on. And hopefully at the other end, you'll have proved something or otherwise.
All right.
That's it.
All right, well, wonderful. Hey, Titus, thanks so much and really appreciate that. And looking forward to hearing something from you during the return engagement.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK. It's early morning there, in case you haven't figured that out, in case you haven't listened to the show before. And we really appreciate him getting up early to join us. It means a lot. All right, now we're going to head to Texas and speak to Eric, the Franz Liszt of poets. Hello, Eric. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Michael?
Doing real well, man. Doing real well. Thank you. Thank you. Did you have a good week?
Yeah, you could say that.
All right. Good enough. Happy to hear that. So, So let's do this. Let me give you the mic. I'll give you the stand, and then we'll talk after.
All righty. All right. This is called Happy Halloween. Happy Halloween. Ghosts, ghouls, goblins, spirits, wines, pumpkins and their spices, lanterns and their flickering candlelights, scarecrows, spiders and their webs, skulls, bats, rats, black cats, crows, skeletons, undead, witches, their spells and witchcraft. Warlocks, their spells and witchcraft, necromancers, dead talking, divination, ancestors, rituals, rites, vampires, werewolves, mummies, shapeshifters, gargoyles, boogeymen, monsters, creatures, creepy crawlers, grim reapers, devils, cemeteries, tombstones, crosses, pentagrams, pentacles, tricks or treats, truths or dares, haunted houses, haunted hayrides, netherworlds, paranormal, macabre, weird, ghastly, gory, creepy, cute, nerdy, sexy, costumes, food, harvest, candy, festivities, beautiful decay of nature, full moons, thinnest line between our world and the spiritual realm, which allows beings to cross over, myths, legends, superstitions, songs, poems, books, death symbolism, evil symbolism, cool weather, foggy bogs, horrors, terrors, scares, screams, gothic element, Samhain, and Day of the Dead origins, worshippers, corporatism, and consumerism both make money off of it and ruin it. In peace.
I dig it. I like that one, man.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to make a a clean fun or clean family fun. compassing all the attributes. The only thing I didn't put in there was paganism, and the reason I didn't because paganism actually is a term that Catholics and Christians deemed lots of people that didn't believe in Christianity. I'm sure you already knew that.
Yep.
But I think there are certain pagans that, well, they don't say they're pagan, but whatever. They believe in something else. But I think it's the wrong term is what I'm trying to say. So
are you trying to say that the Catholic Church unfairly labeled people that didn't agree with them?
Precisely. Yes, I am.
Yeah. Well, it is.
You do know of All Saints Day and All Souls Day and Day of the Dead. Actually, Halloween comes from Day of the Dead, which was Dia de los Muertos, as in Spanish, and actually came from Native Americans in South America. I'm sure you already know all that.
I did. But, you know, I'm also a huge fan of Coco, a great Disney movie that covered up.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen that yet.
I've actually played around, Eric. No, I do totally get that. And you know, it's one of those things where I have to be real careful when I'm teaching in school because I teach a ton of culture and a ton of history along with music to give it context. And I have to be really careful since I am still working for the Catholic Church that I want to give real information, but I don't want to be the guy in there just like, and then the Catholic Church did this, you know, but there's a lot of that in history, man. There's a whole lot of that in history. So I've got to be really careful about how I do it, but I get what you're saying and I respect it. And the one thing I'll say about Halloween that I do love is that it is the one day of the year where I can walk into a grocery store and see Batman talking to Dracula, and no one bats an eye. And I think that is amazing.
Right?
You know?
Yeah, it is. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. No, it's I wanted to do Halloween, obviously, because it's my birthday. But it's also October, and so I wanted to do a new one. About 2 or 3 years ago, I don't know if I read that on your show or not, I did... At one time, I was trying to do basically worldwide autumn and fall holidays, and there's a whole bunch, and I was going to put them all in a little, like, kids' book, but some of them were pretty long, and I did Day of the Dead, Samhain, and Halloween, and Halloween was the shortest one, and anyways, I wanted to make a more cleaner one. And not so long as well either. So I just thought of everything I knew, about it. And just to give you a little comical relief about that, you know, being mistold or being mislabeled, my mom is still alive to this day. And I think that, well, she actually is clinically insane too, and of course I got her genetics, so I'm sure I'm the same. I haven't been diagnosed with it.
Well, you are a poet, so you know we understand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all right. But what I'm saying is that she believed that when she had me, it was at 9:30 at night on Halloween, and she tried to hold me in. She thought I was going to be the devil's baby. So I know all about being mislabeled and mistermed and all that. Like I got my dad calls me. And my stepdad that adopted me, he calls me Lucifer's nag, but he uses the B word. Yeah. And I just told him, whatever, Dad. If I am, I am. You know, whatever.
I guess that's
like
the
mom thought I was going to be. Oh, go ahead.
No. I don't want to interrupt what you were just saying.
Oh, she just thought I was going to be the devil's incarnate. And since I don't believe in God, she kind of already has that in her mind. She believes that if you don't believe in God, then you worship the devil. So.
Huh. All right.
That's interesting. Okay.
Well, we are glad either way that you're here with us this evening, man. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you during the return engagement, hopefully.
Yes, sir. Thanks
so
much.
All right, man. Thank you.
Talk to you in a little bit.
Talk to you in a bit. Bye. And that was Eric calling from Texas. So I didn't know that. Did you know that he was the evil incarnate?
No, I thought it was me because when I was born, I have this birthmark on my head.
Yeah.
That got removed later on. But
did you really?
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
it three nines upside down?
No, but that's what my mother was thinking. They got erased.
Oh.
You know, because the Omen had come out the same year.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, go figure. I think.
It's fun stuff.
You know, I remember hearing a quote from Stuart Copeland. He was talking about Sting, which is funny because that's where I would be if I wasn't on the air right
that's
now.
That's right.
I would be seeing Sting perform. He's in Denver tonight. But he said there was one point where Sting and the head of the police started thinking that he might be the Antichrist. And it really bothered Sting.
Huh. Okay.
And Stuart, the drummer, this is such a great thing. And I have a friend who's a drummer who would do the same thing to me if I got there. He goes, no, Sting. You are not the Antichrist. You're not Beelzebub. You're not the Dark One. You're just a common garden variety. And then he used an expletive.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I like having people in my life that will do that to me when I need it. You
yeah.
know? And
yeah.
I think it's a healthy, healthy thing. Now, we have just finished with five great poets here in this first segment. Before we go into the Collins for the second, we're going to unveil three clues for this month's Poet of the Month.
Yeah!
Poet of the Month.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. So that happened. All right, here we go. So each month we do 2 weeks where I will unveil three clues as to who the poet might be. And then on the third week, we unveil the identity. So this week, I will start with three clues. If you think you know who this poet is, send me a message. Don't announce it in the chat room. Send me a message. And if you get it, if you're the first one to get it, you will get to select what song or a song I perform Studio X that following month. Okay? Here we go. Here is clue number one. Paradise Lost, take all of the trees. Clue number two, coffee shop poet. And number three, just another show. And those are your three clues for this week. If you think you know, send me a message on Facebook, or you can send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. That were the first three clues for the October 2018 Poet of the Month.
You all right?
I just instantly cough when I hear that music. I don't know what that's about. All right. So now we're getting ready for the next five callers. We need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, open mic.
Hey, mister.
Hey.
Hey, mister, do you like poetry?
Sure.
Get in the van.
Okay.
World Poetry Open Mic. Does this smell like chloroform to you?
And welcome back. World Poetry Open Mic, the second segment of the evening. We got a little bit of an interesting segment going on here.
Yeah, I did a little...
You did a thing.
I did a thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I did a thing.
Well, there's nothing to apologize for. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be different.
Yes.
I'm kind of excited to do it.
Yes.
So let's just jump straight in. Sound
okay.
good? Because we got a lot to cover
yes.
here.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to go right to California. We're going to go on the air with Don Hagelberg. Hello, Don. How are you, sir?
I'm a little bit far from my telephone. Let me bring it in. Thank you.
Of course.
Here. Let me try to sit down. Oh, Lordy. Old ages are really not a beneficial thing for poetry.
I've heard this.
Yeah, and you get creaky in your rhymes and your addiction aches and but then you get a massage and everything's okay.
So what do you have for us, sir?
I have a poem entitled Against Dictation. Police women and men surveil me. They mark cards, record tapes, and shoot me dead center with video cameras. Can they ever bore themselves dead? They drown ants in media trenches. They laugh behind my back for watching them collect evidence about how I speak. Torture? They commit. They are not well versed in what they see or hear. Their smiles draw razor cracks across my face, and I blink with hysteric scars on the street. I receive stares of ridicule like quarter dollars thrown in pity at the homeless. They throw silver bombs at the back of my head, and they sing when they do it. The song reads, of meanness made mean, and they will bray at my funeral. At the ass which I have made out of myself. But I am neither the secretary for Stalinists or for fascists. So I can chuckle at the holy words of the leader, even though my last act will be one in which I pass gas. End quote.
I have a response. I have a response to some of your work, and this is a great example of it. That's like halfway between awe and laughing at the exact same time. So I appreciate both of the facets of that piece.
Oh, gee whiz.
Don, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I want to add one thing.
Yes.
For those of you who have not been with someone who has died, it's not only gas that passes. It's everything in the intestine. So be aware ahead of time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Don from California.
I love it. It's true.
It's totally true. And it's a good warning.
Good stuff.
It's a good warning. It's like a public service announcement. Just make sure you're minding your P's and Q's, as the case might be. Mama Oladeji, could you give us a call, please? We just dropped your call for some reason. And one way or another, whether it was us or you, whatever, something happened. So you are next in line. Give us a call if you can, Mama. So, JT.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you, what did you do for National Taco Day? Which was yesterday.
Well, I went to school. But before I went to school, I prepped some meat.
That's not a metaphor.
And some beans.
Okay.
For tacos.
Yeah?
Tacos grande.
Does that just mean really big tacos?
It does mean really big tacos.
How big were these really big tacos?
Well, they were about yay. And
okay, so just slightly larger than average tacos.
Were, but yeah, you know, okay. It was good stuff.
Okay. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. I went into school and made a gigantic deal out of it. The kids and I have a dance where it's kind of like a cross between the Charleston and just some basic other dance moves where it's the conga line. Mm. So it's taco, taco, taco. We did that through the lunchroom. I made it the biggest, most ridiculous deal possible.
Awesome.
And I didn't even eat a taco yesterday.
What?
I know. I know.
You could have just swung by and...
Well, because I'm really focused on dieting appropriately right now.
Oh,
I've been doing really good.
You know, you can always have a taco salad.
Oh, I know. I know. I was just a little preoccupied.
I understand.
He's doing some work. Yeah. You know? Yeah. All right. So, Mama, I'm not sure where she went.
She may have had to reboot.
It's possible.
Which is a fear,
so
but it's okay.
We'll make it work at some point down the road. But
yep,
now,
absolutely.
Right now, what we're going to do is we're actually going to head to Dennis, but not in Michigan.
That's right.
We're going to head to Dennis, where he's at the Indiana Gathering of Poets, I believe. Hello, Dennis.
I know he's there.
Hello, Dennis, are you there?
I can hear it. You don't think.
You don't think that Mama and the poets in Indiana are like in some sort of a melee right now, do you?
That'd be interesting.
So what do you think would be happening right now? If there was a melee,
a flinging of a lot of paper.
Okay. Well,
paper
I get a feeling
cuts left and right.
I feel like Mama would have
back.
A she'd have oh. a belt. And she'd be yeah. kind of like whipping people.
Ah, maybe they had a call back. Let's see.
She probably has a belt.
Yeah.
She's probably running around going ka-da, ka-da. That's probably what's happening right now. Because I know from hearing Mama talk,
yeah,
I am not messing with that woman.
All right. Hey, Dennis?
Yes.
Ah,
perfect.
There we go. Perfect.
Okay.
We heard you say you'd call back, but we didn't hear anything else before that.
It was so weird.
Yes, I called back. Since you didn't sound like
All right. So so basically you're there with several poets, right?
Yes. I'm here with Tamara with Caroline Dewey. I'm here with George Wiley.
All right. Now so what we want to do is we want to give you guys a little bit of time to each read one if we can. However, just so you know, your phone's cutting up a little bit, so it may get kind of weird. So, we'll just all do our best, and we'll just step back and let you run it. That's a little. Dennis, I'm sorry to do this to you. Could you try giving us a shout back one more time just in case it's a bad connection? Because we can barely hear anything. Boy, that would be a bummer, wouldn't it? Man.
Totally a bummer.
Indiana, come on, where's your cell coverage? I feel like that is a political cause I can get behind. Yelling at other states about their cell coverage. That's the most first world problem kind of stuff I could think of.
Here we go.
All right, Dennis, you there?
Yeah.
All right, that's sounding already better. So I'm just going to shut up, let you go, because I don't want to waste the time. Oh, my goodness. All right. Hey, Dennis, we still can't hear you for some reason. It keeps breaking up. Let's do this. I think I don't really know what we can do. What do you think, JT?
I don't want to.
Because it's just essentially white noise.
Yeah, it breaks out. Anybody else able to call in? Is that Tamara calling in?
Okay. Let's see.
Hey, Dennis, hang on a moment.
Okay. This is great radio, by the way.
It is. Absolutely
yeah.
great radio.
But we're working through it. Let's see what's going on here.
Okay. Hello? Tamara?
Can you hear us now?
I can hear you clearly.
Man, my
wonderful
my activism's worked. Check that out. Indiana's got great cell service now. Boom. Instantaneous.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the Indiana Fall Rendezvous of Poets. We're so glad to have you join us tonight.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I didn't even have to put my pants on.
Yeah. Neither did George and Dennis.
Whoa!
Well, Dennis has his on, but George doesn't.
that's why we love George. All right, so... So how about this? We're just going to kind of step back. We figure each of you have one, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And none of them are Beowulf, so just so you know.
Thank you for that. I appreciate no Beowulf, unless it's in the Old English.
That's right.
All right.
Well, no guarantees about Caroline because she's, you know, but you're good. I'm going to hand the phone over, and whoever's going to start is going to start. Is that all right?
All right. Sounds great.
All right.
Hello.
The speaker is right there, if that helps you.
All right. Dennis here. All right. I'm going to read a poem that I haven't read on the show before. The title is Need Some Help Here, and this is the poem. Whatever happened to being kind? Perhaps biting our tongues, not speaking our mind. Why is self-control so out of fashion? Who benefits from your vulgar tongue-lashing? In this climate of no mutual respect, our society falls into greater neglect. When self is the focus, can't consider another. How can we coexist as sisters and brothers? It is time we return to the old-fashioned ways, where love and respect sweetened our days. End of poem.
Very enjoyable. Very enjoyable.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
The next poet.
All right.
The next poet is Carolyn Dewey.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Caroline Dewey. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you, Caroline?
Oh, great. I'm from Fort Wayne, Indiana, and we're having our poetry convention here, so we're happy to have a couple Michiganders down here with us.
That's what they're called, Michiganders?
Is that what you're... I call that like geese and goose and gander or whatever.
No, I think you're right.
It's better than Hoosier. I think we pop up out of the ground, we see our shadow, and we have to go back for six more minutes.
You know,
winter.
Yeah, I understand
that. That name for us either.
If I look in the mirror and I see ear hair, I know there's six more weeks of winter.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Hey, the poem I want to share with you tonight is inspired by our National Poetry Convention that we had in Denver, Colorado. They had us go to an art museum, the Center for the Arts in Evergreen, Colorado. And, well, you guys know where that is what Dennis is saying. And we were inspired by the art of Tom Ware and a beautiful sculpture of two dancers. And this is a poem that I wrote from that, called Intertwined. The music of the dance is filled with passion. The music of the passions filled with dance. Lifting, extended, holding, molding, the passion of the dance is left to chance. The daughter of the maker, the daughter of the clay, in the maker, taking earth and forming, exchanging in the field, the birth result of creation revealed. Legs entwined with legs, palms perspiring, not exerting energy, only love. Dedicated beauty, dedicated glory, the passion, the dancing, the art. Thank you. George Wiley.
Very nice.
Thank you for letting me read. George Wiley is up to bat next. He's another Michigander.
All right.
They know me well.
Hey, how's it going?
It looks pretty good. In fact, just as a gift for you letting us do this, we're sending you a case of peanut butter.
Wonderful. Wonderful. That's what we need.
Okay.
That pure Michigan, right. Pure Michigan pina colada. You know, that's the authentic stuff.
It's a pina colada. That's right.
Oh, flavorful.
Okay. Mine is short here, and we move on to tomorrow after. Mine's called Loose Lips. A normal man has lessons learned, but me, my punishments I earned. Advice from others I have spurned. You see, I always talk too much. When even not in a real clutch, I mutter such and such and such. The muscle that has lost my grip, the one I closes down my lips. We all know loose lips sink ship. I give myself my biggest dangers. I'm known to bother even strangers. So please send me a verbal ranger. Hello, it's me, and I will talk. So you'd best not delay your walk, else fit me with a lip padlock. End of poem.
Very, very nice, George. Thank you.
And boy, are they finding that around here. Here, I'll pass the phone to tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, George.
Hi, JT. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back.
How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you. So
we think you need to come here next year. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. All right. I guess that's settled. Wow.
Thank God our tickets are already booked.
You know, they have somebody talk to us. So like you could be like a speaker or something.
You'd be a speaker.
You'd have a reason to come. See,
but I don't have anything to say.
Good food, too.
So if there's good food.
Well, hey, sign us up.
Indiana,
No. Good food. Yeah, we're good.
Good food. We're there.
Yeah, we're good.
I know a guy. All right. Okay. So I'm reading the poem I read earlier tonight, because one of the things that we do here, it's really fun, is we get to read our poems, and we go around, and it's like this, round robin. And so I'm reading you the one I read earlier, because it's about poetry and writers. So anyway, that's what I'm reading. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. I need a simple phrase at first, a few more words to make a line. A rhythm helps to start me off, and then I'll do just fine. I don't know where it's going or where we'll be when done. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know we'll have some fun. We'll skip along expected paths, then dive into the trees. We can wander where we want, meander if we please. Race through lengthy run-on sentences with no points that leave us out of breath. Or pause a few, too many times, and comma us to death. Twists and turns and tropes galore, plots like graveyard directors. Ignore the critic in your head, kill the conscientious objector. Scribble it on an envelope, type it in an app upon your phone. Send it out by carrier pigeon or skyride it with a drone. The time has come to do it. Give in. Please don't fight it. Button chair, hands on keys. Come on, baby, write it. End poem.
Very, very nice. Way to go. Thank you so much, Tamara.
Okay. This is me not hanging up immediately. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Just all a right. second. Here, so one of you guys say goodbye because I always hang up like in a flash.
Well, thank you for enduring us tonight. It was fun. It's a great time tonight.
We're really happy that you guys all called in and you were able to share. Have a great time out there, okay? And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And JT for your patience with us on this apparatus.
No problem. Thank you.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Thank you. And that was Tamara, George, Caroline, and Dennis, all calling from Indiana, the Indiana Gathering of Poets. Mama Oladeji, if you could give us a call right back, we'd love to put you on. So sorry we missed you earlier, but we're glad that you're back in the chat room there. So we'll do that, and then we'll go to, what do you think? Return engagement, huh?
Yep.
All right.
Here we go.
Here she is. Hello, Mama.
Okay. I'm on another phone now.
All right. We're happy. We're happy we get to talk at all, and this is awesome. So just in interest of time, thank you for being so patient. I'm going to step back, let you read, and we'll talk after it, okay?
Okay. This is a dedication by another poet to Dr. Michael Williams. I love Dr. Michael Williams. He was the professor, the head of the Black Student Society at Cleveland State University. And after the memorial of my daughter, which he allowed me to have it at the Cleveland State University, it was a very large memorial. About a few weeks later, he passed on himself. And one of his students wrote this, and I want to read it in memory of him. And it starts out by saying, Nia Oni, Nia Oninam, No Sua A Ohu, meaning, he who does not know can know from learning. And the piece goes like this. Sacred educator, living liberty, royal guide, your curation of minds have rippled ways far and wide. Your instruction strikes the ignorance from this front line, turning lost minds divine. Your gentle humor could light the darkest night with punchlines that could end the roughest fight. Cultural protector, Nubian priest, great pharaoh, if knowledge is worth more than gold, you were the richest indeed. If kindness has real value, you are the real MVP, father of a community and a beautiful, precious seed. Brothers for the struggle, educational revolutionary, Mensa, Mike, Baba Williams, Doctor, we realize and we release you to the ancestors. May your legacy vibrate throughout the universe forever. By Dwayne Castleberry, MP.
That is a beautiful piece, Mama.
Wow, what a tribute. I mean, I feel like, well, I really like to read this. He was just the nicest guy, you know. So,
wow.
You know, that's how the students felt about him. And I like the part where it says, he who does not know can know from learning. That just took me right there.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, all you Michiganders.
Yeah, I know. That made me laugh, actually. I thought it was great.
All right. I'll be listening. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
See you on return engagement.
All right. See you then. Thank you. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out our second segment. Well, JT, you know what I was thinking?
Yeah.
Why don't we go to the Collins for the return engagement? And at the beginning of the return engagement is when I will unveil the poetic form.
That sounds great.
All right, cool. So anybody who wants to call back in and share one, or anybody who wants to call in for the first time and share one tonight, you can do so during this next segment. So 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And like the mighty phoenix, we have risen from the ashes that were caused when JT laid a stick of incense in a very unfortunate place.
Sorry.
And we are back for the return engagement. We've got
an interesting setup.
Yeah, we've got an interesting setup, but I would say, to use a technical term, we have a hell of a lot of poets on this Collins segment. How many do we have?
11.
We have 11 poets lined up. So I think we're going to be getting into it very shortly. However,
yes.
I do have a poetic form of the month. Yep. That is what it sounds like when I say poetic form of the month. By the way, the weird thing is JT's not actually playing anything. That happens. If I'm standing in the shower by myself, I'm like, what should be the poetic form of the month? It happens every single time. Now, here's one thing, really quickly, JT. I remember I've talked about this several times. I just never pulled the trigger. I really do want to hire a mariachi band to follow me around for a day. to be my minstrels.
It would be funny.
Because I think that would be something that I feel would really increase my experience of the day, don't you think?
Oh, definitely.
Especially if we went to like a mariachi, or we went to a restaurant with another mariachi band.
You know what restaurant in town has another mariachi band?
What's that?
Casa Bonita.
Casa Bonita.
You could have a dueling mariachi bands.
You mean that I would have to buy a meal for every member of the mariachi band to get them to come in? And then when they came in, it would turn into West Side Story, just mariachi bands?
That would be awesome.
I think we're onto something here.
We're going to have to find a way to do this.
We got to film it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had two teachers earlier today. We all went out for a drink right after school.
Yeah.
And I had two teachers talking, and one of them goes, "You know, I drink beer and then go for runs." The other one goes, "That sounds great. Let's do it." I'm like, "I'm going to film this." So I will just add that footage together. It'll be a great experiential thing we can do for everyone. This is for everyone. It's for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
It's for the kids. All right. I don't know which kids or whose kids.
It's okay.
Okay, not my kids. That's for sure. All right, anyway, here we go. The poetic form of the month. The poetic form of the month is... There you go. Thank you very much. Elegy. It's a meditative lyric poem lamenting the death of a public personage or of a friend or loved one. By extension, any reflective lyric on the broader theme of human mortality. In classical literature, an elegy was simply any poem written in the elegiac meter, alternating lines of declitic hexameter and pentameter, but was not restricted as to subject. Although some classical elegies were laments, many others were love poems. Now, I could go on and on and on, but I've basically linked this up. If you go to worldpoetryopenmic.net, just scroll down, you'll see Poetic Form of the Month, big letters there. And just click on that, and you'll be able to read all about it. It's been linked to there, and that is our October 2018 Form of Poetry of the Month. Poetic Form of the Month. All right, here we go. We've got 11 callers.
Woo!
And we're going to head, first of all, to Kentucky, the land where it goes down. Let's talk to Philip. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Hayden.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you could hear me now. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you just fine. It sounds like you're in a meat locker of some kind.
Actually, you know, I should turn that. I really prefer white noise, so I almost always have a fan.
Okay. No, actually, that makes sense. It's not an issue.
Yeah, you're fine.
Philip, you're totally fine.
Right. I wish I could say I'm actually in a meat locker. I think that would be hilarious.
You go, yeah, I just listened to elite meat locker sound effects from YouTube to calm myself down.
You pull up my leg.
Did you really? I'm pulling your pantalones.
You're pulling my pantalones. Very good. Oh, and by the way, I mean, this is totally random, but so rare for me. I'm actually having guests over tomorrow evening, poets from this poetry group that I am in locally. And I was just thinking it would have been ideal for you to be able to join us so you could play your guitar, sir. I think that would be just marvelous background, you know. We would pay you, of course, you know, for your talents, but it would be just marvelous. So anyhow, I just wanted to let you know you would be included if you were nearby, sir.
Hey, well, you know
and
what?
You too, Mr. Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I was going to say maybe I'll record a video of me playing a song for you guys and send it to you tomorrow, okay?
Really? That would be nice. Yeah.
Oh,
you are a sweetheart, I tell you. I don't know why women aren't just eating you up.
I don't know, but man, their cannibalistic tendencies are really down right now.
well, you know, we'll talk about that later.
All right. Thank you, Philip.
Yes. All right. Here we go. I forewarn is sort of a, I guess, you know, of the season poem, Halloween sort of maybe, I don't know. Anyway, at least it's what I'm going to claim. The title, Hint of Noir for a Tenuous Film Outline, Premise 3. The tall, broad oaks sound sometimes in early autumn like a freshly stubbed cigarette, barely audible hiss against glass or acerbic spit, sudden chill breeze, ashes and a rusted shovel tossed against rocks at the bottom of the dark, a rapacious dream, seashells envisioned over the eyelids, pink as a woman's inmost intimacy, Freudian wanton, yet disgusted by the look and feel of animated flesh. Briefest centerpiece dialogue concludes abruptly, the gist, I'll pray for you. How dull and presumptuous. Spoken calmly, supremely monotone, with a coldly neutral affect that disdains emotion. Pale yellow purse, chartreuse in color, accompanied by a lush, sticky odor. Left behind, top gaping open. Abandoned, scene 29, gas station bathroom nearly 7 miles, where rests another gorgeous, nude in the scrub and brush, beneath a shallow grave, dug half-heartedly. And there it is.
There is a lot to unpack in that one, and I really, really enjoyed it. I like the Freudian wanton reference there. That was great.
Well, thank you, Michael, and I look forward to the next poet, sir. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, Philip. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. Last of the Mohicans.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. By the way, no one got the Poet of the Month so far.
That's good. This is good.
Yeah, this is good. That means I thought it was really obvious.
Well.
But I'm glad that it wasn't because I was trying to make it not obvious.
Yes.
Okay, good.
You did good.
Now we're going to travel to the UK and visit with Titus.
Good day, sir.
Good day. Welcome back.
Yes, it is getting approaching that time of day when I can say day.
It's getting to be that time of day where the sun actually comes up. Huh?
Yeah. That's it. All yes. Right.
Wonderful. Ooh.
Waiting at number two, you can think of what you're going to say to the host just before you read. I don't know. I was always talking about these people who pass me at work with their earphones in their ears. They are talking to someone. They don't only block out the peripheral vision, but they actually don't know. They don't actually look in front of them. If you sort of like see their vacant stare, I mean, it's they don't even see where they're going. You know, it's weird.
Very true.
It leads me to the fact that when I used to leave school to walk home, we used to wave to, sadly, the old people in their home, and they would wave back. But I think nowadays they would just pass the old people's home without even a look. So. The poem I'm going to read is called The Moral Fibre, and the last stanza is virtually asking myself, how do I even approach a social interaction with people these days? So that's what this is all about, The Moral Fibre. In a previous life, we had a conscious thought about love. Helping others was one of a kind. Victorious to serve, and if the odds to purport seriously refined, it gave us the peace of mind. It affected us to care, to be fastidious at work. We in ourselves commit that we are studious, to learn off of others. If by our mistakes lurk, where eagerly a dare will take you, be curious, be unassuming to teach it, glorious self-pride. To others without the ferocious ego formats, showing how notorious a will to win will bide, peaceful retreats are mindful of restful habitats. Curious are those who observe how hilarious the way we lead our lives. Are we so different? Are we to conserve doubt as there are various obvious traits to consider, and I'm an itinerant, and I am dubious about this certainty of sloth. Is finding tedium a dilemma for this them religious? It evolves around hearsay, my reading this stuff. An intellectual means what it makes prodigious. Ambitious, but not with an evil obnoxious trait. I say wait. What a rebellious state towards anxiety, and a wise head have shown a determined spate all of a sudden would be holden to this notoriety. To spoil the good you've done shows laborious a vain attempt to make others envious of you. Wastage of words the present day now mocks us to be as superstitious of what not one does do. End of poem.
I like your approach to it. I think my thing that I first thought about is you just slap the phone out of their hands, but I think your answer is a lot better.
I think in it, yes, there's a little bit of mixed up verbiage there, but I like to have the reader make their own minds up how they read it.
Sure.
But, yeah, I sometimes think I'm being mocked by the way I am. It's the last bit of, I mean, it was an accident that I said of what not one does do. It's kind of like a lot of people talk, but they don't put the actions where the work, where they're mentioning, you know, it's just not done anymore.
Right. That's very so true. That's very
it
true.
Linked us to a dead end, sadly. And I do believe, looking at the youngsters these days, I'm made healthier by it. I'm actually being enriched by it. I think I look at it in a positive sense for myself. I'm being selfish now. That the way the youngsters are, they're showing, such as I said before, the old people, they're those old people. I see them as old. There's nothing I can do other than see old people, young people with older attitudes.
Yeah. Makes sense, actually. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But thank you for having me.
Of course. Anytime. Thank you so much, sir. Oh, yes.
There was a preamble in front of that poem. It says, "Prove it. I'll measure your words against your actions, and from that I will determine your worth." And I think that's what I've done to these people.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's
good stuff.
That's it. End of Titus.
All right. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
Bye.
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 And that was Titus Collins from the UK in the early morning. Now, next up, watch to Cleveland, Ohio, to Mama Oladeji.
Yes?
Hello, Mama. How are you?
I'm here.
All right. Well, that's all we care about. First of all, we want to make sure you're okay, but the fact you're there is a great start.
Well, I'm at the chat room trying to tell Tamara that my best friend from Belgium, her name was Tamara, but it was Tamara, and that I named my little sister after her. And so my sister is named Tamara. And when they say Tamara, I always put in the chat room, Tamara. So that's why I do. So she just told me it's Tamara. But it's Tamara, but it's okay. I'll let her be Tamara if she wants to be. Anyway.
All right, all right.
So here we go. It's called After the Eclipse. If there be a tomorrow, let it be filled with the awesome light after the eclipse. Let the things that have not happened yet be filled with joy and promise instead of sorrowful regret. If there be a tomorrow, let there be no more long and lonely days stewing, people pining in fear. Let us see our future thrive. If there be a tomorrow, let it be void of hate. Let not yesterday's agony be the feature of today. Leave the sordid past of all our sorrows in a heap of fatal woes. If there be a tomorrow, let it be void of hate. Let not yesterday's agony be the feature of today. Leave the sordid past of all our sorrows in a heap of fatal woes. Cover them and bury them in the ever-sinking holes. If there be a tomorrow, if there be a tomorrow. If anyone wants to see the past return, remove them from the now. Let us advance and leave them stranded in the torment of their own minds. If there be a tomorrow, let not those who oppose the advancement of mankind follow us into the new moon. Leave them in yesterday, where their hearts are. Let them wallow in yesterday's grief and the misery they've caused. With faces of stone, they still proudly own yesterday's grief. Those opposed to relief and whose beliefs lies in the past. But if there be a tomorrow, let us move on and look forward towards the new sun after the eclipse. God's presence has been shown and has shown
Let us move on into the new dawn. If there be tomorrow by Mama Oladeji, our round queen in the building.
Wow, Mama. I really liked that one. That was great.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right, Sharon. You know, I can't be around being all.
All right.
So you got to go. That make me laugh. All right.
All right. We'll work on it. We're going to work on it. All right. Thank you, Mama. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Sorry.
I'll let you get there. All right. Now we're going to travel.
No, they need to call.
Indiana, collectively, can you call us all at once? Get ready, JT.
I'm waiting for this one. This is going to be great.
Boatload of calls from Indiana coming in at once. Man.
Ready?
Okay, ready?
Hello.
Indiana, are you there? Yeah. Hello. Thank you, Cleveland. Hello, Indiana.
Hello.
All right. So here we are. We're back. We've got, no, I understand we have five poets here lined up.
Yes.
All right. Perfect. Well, I'll let you introduce who the first one is, and we're just going to kind of sit back, and then we'll pop in as need be.
We're going to start off with Shillin because she wasn't here before. So here you go. Are you ready?
All right, we're ready.
I'm Shillin Height.
Hello.
And this is my poem, Daring on Death with a Dance. It's a short poem. Can I go ahead?
Yes, you sure can.
All right, Daring on Death with a Dance. Whispers through the cobwebs in the trees charm me into crawling places with their promise of a dance. This wobble in my knees could banish aching inhibitions back, compelling me through this canopy of trance. I offer myself to weavers of treetops to feast with pleasure on the eve of my death. Perhaps I'll awaken tomorrow and safe in my bed. There's always the chance. Speckled with festering bumps at morning or nothing but bones by night, a withering daisy between my teeth. Daring on Death with a Dance.
Wow.
Very nice. Very, very nice. We enjoyed that. Okay. Thank you.
All right. It's Georgie again.
Hey, George.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Okay. It's George. Mine is called, and I've never read it before, so it's bad, and it's prose. Breaded mozzarella sticks.
All right.
I was hungrier. My friends were not the topmost kind. They took me in only because we graded each other on a curve. The Chesapeake and Ohio line ran through town near Ed Fortune's bar, and we were always on the tracks alongside, no matter where we lived. The good kids had cars with automatic transmissions and garages which actually held cars. And their mothers put on makeup to buy groceries. And their kids would go to college, whether they wanted to or not. And they had cottages on golden lakes where the sun always shone. Their houses were brick and had Venetian blinds, and someone else mowed their lawns. And their parents spoke to them quietly, agreeably. I don't think they even went to the bathroom. While our folks yelled a lot, and the siblings might actually hit one another. We got dirtier. We knew how to stalk a friend in the dark. And we were sure that that was what made us cool. When our parents drove us to the dance, we asked them to drop us off a block away. While the good kids glided shiningly up to the door and got out taking photos of each other. Reverend Whiteship's daughter arrived, a prestigious sight to behold. But we knew her a bit better from over behind the pickle factory, where she wasn't singing hymns. The years grew on, and they removed the train tracks. Some of my friends and I, we had done quite well, occasionally blew back into town to meet and drink beer together at Fortune's Bar, which still stood. It had been modernized with burned wood and stuff to look much older than it actually was. They now serve breaded mozzarella sticks instead of pickled eggs from a big jar. As was de rigueur in every local bar across the land. A fat drunk slouched at the end of the bar, his eyes glued to the napkin. The bartender said, "Oh, that's Stace Barkman. He married Reverend Whiteship's daughter." I asked, "Didn't Stace's dad own half the town?" He answered, "Oh, yes, but old man Barkman disowned Stace because he's a drunk, and his wife left him." Stace heard his name spoken and looked over, then quickly looked away. We changed the subject. "What are they doing with that grid old train depot?" And the bartender said, "First, some lady from up north turned it into a Bible church called Della's Devotion Depot, but it closed. So now it's going to be a dollar store. People are pretty happy about that around here." End of poem.
Very, very nice.
Pardon?
Very nice, George. Very nice.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pass the phone to Dennis.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Hello, I'm back.
Hey, Dennis. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. The poem I'm going to read, I might have read before, but I'm going to share it again.
All right.
The title is The Bridge. There is a bridge, it sees both sides. The space between it there resides. There is a bridge. There is a bridge that separates two extremes, both loves and hates. There is a bridge. There is a bridge that can unite the span, the gulf between day and night. There is a bridge. There is a bridge that offers hope, that precious gift whereby we cope. There is a bridge. There is a bridge that sees both sides, that separates, that can unite, that offers hope. You, dear poets, are that bridge. End of poem.
All right. Lovely. Really, really enjoyed
thank
that.
You.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And usually, every time I say God bless, and I forgot to last time, so I have to say God bless twice. So I'm going to pass the phone to Carolyn Dewey. There she is.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
I actually had called into you guys' program once a long time ago, and I think I gave you guys a hard time because I had to miss Jimmy Fallon here in Indiana with the time difference.
Well, you know, I understand. Who the hell wants to miss Jimmy Fallon?
Well, the time difference. But I, it's been that long since I called him. I remember, oh, yeah, that's one I wanted to hang up on last time. You know, he probably thought that.
I don't fake laugh as much as him, though.
That's the truth.
I put a plug in at that time for our club, and also we have a Facebook online. But Northeast Indiana Poets, three out of five of us poets that are congregated here with this reading tonight that has to do with our big fall rendezvous event. Three of us are with that Northeast Indiana Poets, which stands for Poets of Every Type Society.
You're like the Illuminati. You're just taking over. But soon it'll be five out of five. All right.
Yeah, I've got five of us so far. I don't know how many are here. Okay, begin poem. See, they all said end poem, and I missed doing that, so I'm going to say begin poem. Somewhere across the field, somewhere across the flowing field, hidden treasures lie. Bunny's hide and brown-eyed Susan's begin to blink their first and take their quenching sip of morning dew. Somewhere across the waves of grass, that green field hides a secret for me. Inside a cozy corner, a safe and hidden hutch, hides a tiny new creature to love. When the clouds play piano across the strands of grass where sister and I ran, she tapped me as she passed, and we played till the last drop of the day. Somewhere across the golden field, watching sunrises and sunsets of life, sharing secret stories under sky in all its glory,
The rainbow held the story of the dreams we'd boldly dream and life's roads and paths and fields yet to try. As the people and years went by, the life we made and spent reminds that not only the birds, but we too fly high. End poem.
That was so much better than Fallon. I really like that. Thank you.
Better than Fallon.
Yeah, I like being with you guys better than that.
Ah, see, there we go. It's the people right there that are making the difference.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Told them earlier, this is, oh, sorry, this is Tamara. I just interrupted. I told everybody earlier, this is my favorite memory. This is just awesome. I'm having such a good time.
Cool. I'm glad. I'm really happy that you have the presence to be able to say while something's happening that this is your favorite memory.
Yeah, absolutely. I forget things, so you just have to claim it when it goes by.
Right before the circus accident was my favorite memory.
All right. Well, I don't know which poem to read, so we'll just read this one.
All right.
Sorry. Let's see. Oh, this is written to my favorite poet. All right. Sometimes your words are just like the lightning bugs on the summer night, nearly too fantastic to be real, yet close enough to grab and hold for a moment. All of a sudden, I'm a little girl again, twirling through a field of fairy lights I've never seen before, not wanting to ever leave. Is this what it feels like when the angels kiss your heart and give wings to your dreams? If it's not, I don't want to know. Go on without me. I'll just live here for a little while. Me and my fireflies. End poem.
Beautiful. Very, very nice. It's a very peaceful feeling there.
Okay, so I think we're going to say goodnight from Turkey Run, Indiana.
All right. Good night to Turkey Run, Indiana. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for the multiple poems. We love you all. Don't run from turkeys. We'll talk to you soon. Hey, today's World Teacher's Day. Did you know that?
Hey, cool.
Yeah.
Happy Teacher's Day.
Thank you very much. You're the first person to say that. You know what tomorrow is? National Transfer Money to Your Daughter Day. No, I don't have a daughter, so that doesn't really affect me, but it might affect you.
It might. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. So now we're going to connect with Stan in Alabama. Hello, Stan, you there?
Yes, I am here.
All right. Well, so are we, so let's do this.
Oh, are we ready to just do this? Is that what this is?
That's what this is.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, we're just going to just have to do it.
I guess that's come to that.
Yeah. No sense in holding back.
Nope, none at all.
The outhouse ain't getting no closer.
This is that. No, I think sometimes you just got to grab the bull by the horns and do it.
Let's hope the bull doesn't say no.
let's hope.
That could be an awkward situation.
I've actually heard about that happening. And it wasn't a good story.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
All right. Anyway, what do you got for us?
I'm going to throw a little Halloween something out there since we're headed into that.
All right.
This is called Got Game. A moonless night, the path through thick woods, a scene familiar to scary Hollywood fillers. But she now travels that path many a script would use for the arrival of a demented killer. Glowing eyes and critter sounds set an edgy air. Every limb in Branch Creek brings chills to nerves. But her destination is ahead. With caution she steps, trying desperately to hold her fears in reserve. The breaking of twigs and branch sounds of breathing. She freezes and tears grip, too scared to even pray. Then an ominous laugh. Ha 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 ha. Followed by the broad worlds words, I want to play. In sheer panic, she breaks in flight through the woods, fleeing her heart throbs and screams in her ears. Still hears that laugh, crashing footfalls and panting breaths as her predator ever closer draws near. An eternity passed in horror as the pursuit continues. Clothes tattered, bruised, bleeding. The nightmare still stalking her continues to laugh. It's a predator who will never relent. Now exhausted, she staggers into an old shed, falls to the ground sobbing, her legs weakened, quiver. Her only hope through fear and dread be mercy, that her ending be quick when it's delivered. She hears her tormentor's breath as he circles the shed. No escape left to her, no place to flee. As the shed door bursts open, the hulking form, her pursuer, death's predator, last thing she'll see. Hair twisted and matted, mud smudged head to foot. Eyes wide, intense glaring with demonic glee. Huge flame in overalls, growls and pants, then laughs. Ha ha ha, you didn't get away from me. She sits upright on the shed floor, knows the game's over. I'm done. Do what you will, you twisted shit. He approaches, reaches out, taps her shoulder. Then with a laugh runs, saying, tag, you're it. And peace.
I like that one.
Very nice. You know, I told a story so similar to that to some kids this week. You know, a kid-friendly version of it. And it was a purple gorilla in the version.
Perfect.
Yeah. But they believed it right up to the last second. They believed it was real up to the last second. Loved it, Stan.
They believed the purple gorilla up to the last second.
They did. I told them it happened to me, and at the end they're going, is this real? No, it's not real. It was great. Well, I mean, you know, they're six, so go for it.
Hey, yeah. I know, purple gorilla, that'll fly.
And then I tried to sell him some a beach house in Idaho. It didn't work, though.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, Stan, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
And I will see you guys after dark. On to the next.
All right. Thank you. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. All right, you ready? We're going now to Texas. Ready? You want to do the yeehaw thing real quick?
Yeehaw!
All right, we're here in Texas.
All right.
With Eric. How's it going, Eric?
Oh.
Man, did that happen? Okay, Eric, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Just hang the phone up. Give us a shout right back. I think we're having that issue. If we are having that, Barbara, you might have to do the same. All right. So, anyway, we have two more callers here.
Yep.
Once we do that, we're going to end the show proper. Then we're going to go into, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go then into After Dark.
Yeah.
But I will have a clear cutoff point for those who do not want to be involved with After Dark. Sorry about throwing the phone over
there. Okay?
Yeah, just, you know, I'm an Italian. I move my hands around occasionally.
That's
knock
true.
Things out.
It's Eric, funny. It's when he sits on his hands. It's
Eric,
it's really
give us
quiet.
A call. Give us a call, Eric.
There he is.
All
ready?
Right. Ready?
Yeehaw!
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
It's going good. Yeehaw! like everyone in Texas is a cowboy, right?
Oh, of course. You know what, though? I got to tell you, the only times I've been in Texas have been because I'm there for, like, Western Music Awards or something.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, so I actually have been surrounded by cowboys every time I've been in Texas.
Well, there you go. You got to find a new place, man.
Apparently I do. Texas is a big damn place, though. I have a feeling there's a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, there are. There's lots of weird. There's lots of different people here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually grew up as a cowboy and in the country too. So.
Oh,
but
did you?
I'm not a cowboy, but yeah.
Just your average antichrist growing up as a cowboy, huh?
That's it. Yep. They called me a young Casey Friedman.
Hey, why wouldn't they call you that?
Right? Nah, I'm joking. They didn't call me that. But you guys know who he is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Casey Friedman?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was funny. Yeah, he was wild.
He was. So but, what do you got for us, man?
Well, I got a long piece, but I'm going to read just a small excerpt at the beginning. I'm going to read
perfect
my definition at the end. So I'm gonna turn my 20 to 30 minute poem into a 5 minute poem.
All right, buddy. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And you actually read it already, I believe, or if you had, I don't know if you had a chance to. It's a Nihilist Manifesto.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just gonna read really short. Some of the beginning, and then the end is my definition. So,
all right.
All righty, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. A Nihilist Manifesto. Nihilism comes from the Latin word nil, which means nothing, and was originally a philosophy of moral and epistemological skepticism that arose in the 19th century Russia. In 19th century Russia, sorry, I messed up. Around the early years of the Tsar, Alexander II, Nile is an old term that certain middle-aged Christian heretics were deemed. It was famously used by Friedrich Nietzsche to describe the disintegration of traditional morality in Western society. Later on in the 20th century, it encompassed a variety of philosophical and aesthetic stances that, in one sense or another, denied the existence of genuine moral truth or values, rejected the possibility of knowledge or communication, and asserted the ultimate meaninglessness and purposelessness of life or of the universe. All right, let me scroll down all the way to the end now. Almost there. All right. This is the end, and this is my definition of it, which is part of the poem, too. Nihilism is essentially the rejection of everything that has already been deemed to be the correct ways to live by philosophers, scientists, religious leaders, governments, ideas, ideologies, belief systems, and especially authoritative people of power, etc., believing in nothing, living and surviving through life's suffering by simply existing and creating a legacy through your creations, which in time will hopefully make you an immortal, and thus living on through your creations forever. That's the end piece.
Very nice, man. And thank you for the excerpt there, and thanks for the definition. I really appreciate you cutting it down. I know that's hard to do, but I think it really helped make the point in the right amount of time.
Oh, yeah, because, as you know, it's a dissertation, and I did a lot of research on it, and I wanted to put my definition, because my definition isn't copied by anybody. That's my actual definition of it, and I actually consider myself to be a nihilist, so that's one of the reasons I wanted to write this poem. But I'm going to be doing an anarchist and an absurdist one as well. I don't know if you guys know of Albert Camus. Mm-hmm. I guess is how you say his name, or Camus. I'm not sure how you say it in French, but he came up with the philosophy called absurdism, and basically to the idea that mankind even come up with the question of an actual meaning to life is absurd. And in saying so, it's a joke. So that's what that one's going to be about. So I know you guys know what anarchy is, I'm pretty sure. So.
Oh, and I'm well acquainted with absurdism. That is essentially my
all right.
Yeah. Naturally, what I gravitate to, absurdism.
That's what's up. So you guys will like that. So,
all right,
if anything,
man,
I'll just read excerpts. And thanks so much for the platform. Thanks for everything.
You got it, buddy.
And yeehaw!
Yeehaw! All right. Thanks a lot, Eric.
All right. Have a good night. I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Talk to you then. Thank you. And that was Eric Kahn from Texas. For some reason, I'm talking like this now, and I have no idea why. Shall we go now to Barbara in Connecticut?
We'll try it.
Here we go. Let's give it a shot. Well, Barbara's
going to have to call.
Barbara,
back.
You're going to have to give us a call and write back, okay? Why don't you hang up and give us a call back or something? Hey, JT.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? One problem I have with wintertime.
Yeah.
It's really hard when you're outside having a barbecue.
Yeah.
Take your shirt off. Hey, Barbara, how's it going?
Hey.
All right, sorry about that.
It's going. You know what happened to me last week. You all know what happened to
me last week, right? We all know.
Yeah, so I had the stitches, the staples out, and it's all good. They take good. Them out like you're a piece of paper. They just bend them and pull them out. And just
that's what they do.
Anyway, I'm all healed and good. And
We're happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's good. Little headache, but, you know, that's to be expected when they think you're, you know, they staple your head and then take it out. But otherwise, it's good. And I have a poem tonight. I'll read my poem and then we can talk, I guess, which I wrote because of a very cute little photo that I found. This photo place sends me photos. And so it was a pumpkin with a puppy. And I thought of all, you know, pumpkins and puppies. And I wrote, October beckons. October beckons me to come out, crunch through fallen leaves, feel the snap of crisp air upon my cheeks, breathe in the sense of fall, reminding me of so many past autumns with little feet clambering around muddy fields, eager to find the one pumpkin as their faces beamed and pondered on which to pick, until windblown and laden with their chosen treasures, we drove home to carve and display them. October beckons me to jump into fall, romp in the grassy smell of the newly raked leaves, and watch as my children build forts out of the carefully collected pile of them, finding the most exquisite to save for school, as each day nature staged an exhibition of golds, reds, and plums, highlighted by yellow. So splendid, it poured sunlight over every tree. Sweaters and cozy afternoons with my hands around a coffee cup sipping hot liquids and hearing the sounds of gleeful children bounding on the grass on days still nice enough to lure them outside, on golden days where the trees and sky blended in a camouflage of leaves and sky. October brings the kinds of days when you must walk in a place far from civilization and stop to stare at the immense symphony of light and color that catches your breath, at the splendor in the world of growing things around you, and brings back memories when you didn't really have the time to look and admire or ponder or wonder. And yet nature was there all the time. End poem.
Very, very nice, Barbara.
Thank you. And I have a thing that I want to ask you. Raj wants to call in, but I know that this segment is over. Would you add him in if he called in?
Well, I'll tell you what. What we'll do is this. What we basically do is once the segment, call-in segment for a session is over, it's basically over. We are about to do an After Dark segment, and he's more than welcome to call in then, and he can have a read.
Okay. I'll tell him he can do that.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. Great. And like I said, it's been a week, but you know. at least, you know, knock wood, I'm still here. So.
Not with your head, Barbara. Not with your head. We learned that last
never
week.
With my head again.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you either later or we'll talk. We'll talk during the After Dark segment.
Yeah, if I find something I want to read. Okay.
Sounds good.
Talk to you later, guys. All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut, rounding out our return engagement segment. By the way, Eric, just so you know, Albert Camus is not actually pronounced that. It's totally a put-up job. The father, quote, of absurdity, which I have a hard time calling it. It's not actually pronounced Camus. It is called Albert Becky, is I think how he's pronounced, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what that last name is actually pronounced as in
Becky.
French. Either that or you could say Albert. I think the other way to pronounce it is Albert Camus. That's the other way that they say it in France. All right. So, for everyone listening, this is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper, which means if you do not want to listen to the After Dark segment, now would be the time to cut it away. So, just for the official ending, from myself, from JT, from Novia the Studio Cat, and from Ursa the Studio Dog, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next time, and until then, keep writing.